failure rate. Written by Exlos, read by Exlos and Aurelius.
Sometime after thwacking his nemesis over the head with a bone, the master began to regret his abrupt decision to embrace his animal instincts. The cheetah, while a fun crowd, lacked a lot in the way of metallic embroidery and ships capable of four-dimensional travel. They couldn't support him in the lifestyle to which he'd become accustomed. Additionally, the doctor was an awfully heavy armful, and without technology, the master was having a less than pleasant stroll. But this planet would serve his purposes for the time being, and he consoled himself with the knowledge that he was going to really enjoy at least one aspect of slumming it for the next few weeks. He and the doctor's unconscious body had relocated with the rest of the cheetah to Omega Nowhere, probably even further away from his poor lost TARDIS. She would be so cross when they were finally reunited that he'd have to install a whole new operating system just to get her to shut up about it, and stop simultaneously flushing all of her toilets while he was showering. Which might seem a mundane issue, but the Time Lords had long ago opted to perfect vortex manipulation, giving up on ever understanding the more subtle vagaries of plumbing. He himself had been trying to redo his spare bathroom for well over a century. The doctor began to stir, and the master quickly dusted off his black suit and concentrated on perfecting the charmingly smarmy to death by cyanide rictus ratio of his smile. He tossed his thwacking bone around a bit just to occupy his hands. The doctor coughed, wetly and unsexily, and rolled over to squint blearily at the master.
"Are you ill?"
the doctor asked with a puzzled frown. Ah, too many teeth, then. The master opened his mouth to deliver a cutting invective, something memorable like, "I am sick of looking at you, or only mentally." But his wit was tragically curtailed, smothered in its cradle by the doctor cutting in, bogarting the last word as usual.
"Did you? You did. You knocked me out. You knocked me out with a pony thigh bone. Why on wherever the hell we are did you feel it necessary to desiccate a pony skeleton to smash my skull in?"
"Your think skull is fine."
"Where did you even get a pony?"
"Kitlings bring back strange things." The master was defensive. The cheetah, for all their faults, were some of the best hinch creatures he'd had all century. "Do you know how many random homeless people they fetched before managing to get it right and find you? Mind you, I did have to sketch them a picture in the dirt of your fetching questioning jumper ensemble, so I can see how they could have become confused." He'd removed that particular eyesore while the doctor was sleeping, leaving his best enemy in a nearly respectable dress shirt. If questioned, the master would say wolves were unsuitable to the climate. But really, he just heartily loathed the article of clothing in question. The master had left it on a tree branch somewhere and hoped some fashion victim of a bird would pick it apart to use as nest bedding. And then a predator attracted to the nest's bright colors would hopefully eat that bird, fitting punishment for having made such egregious errors in interior decorating.
"The cheetah just ate the pony?"
"Heavens no, Doctor. It lived a long, happy life, giving their children rides and teaching them lessons about caring for it and for each other, before a tragic accident involving an open barn door and slippery grass cut short. Of course they ate the pony!"
"They might have ridden it about,"
the doctor sulked. "They have a breeding population of proper horses, as even you must have noticed while they were running you down on them. So why would they also need the Shetland for riding purposes? Look, as much as I want to have an argument with you about the relative load-bearing capacity of a Shetland pony, how many hands high you can estimate the animal to have been from looking at this bone, average cheetah-sized demographics, and how astoundingly thick you are, have you noticed we're on a different planet? Less desert, more deciduous." The master felt this was the kind of solid rhetorical line he'd been groping for all day. Well, technically, back on the bone pile, he'd been engaged in a rather more literal groping. But if the doctor's mild concussion kept him from remembering that bit, so much the better. It would heighten the surprise of the master's next brilliant move.
"No, no, I didn't notice our scenery change. Because before I could really take in my surroundings, someone thought it was incredibly necessary to knock me out with a pony thigh. What exactly was your plan here? Going to wake me up, taunt me a second time, give me a few more smacks and see if it takes? One of us has rather few regenerations left. I'd say at your current attempts on my life to doctors you have oft ratio, you've got a full morning ahead of you."
"Something like that." The master brought down the pony bone he'd been tossing about the whole of the conversation on the crown of the doctor's skull with a sharp tap. "You talk too much." The doctor slumped forward onto the grass of their new home. The master gave his impromptu club a victorious twirl. Later, he thought he'd whittle it into a shank.
The doctor woke up again, annoyed before the fog even cleared from his vision.
"Oh, come on! Twice in a row is just cheap!"
"Not if you fall for it!"
echoed from some other corner of the cave. Were they really in a cave now? The master strode into view, carrying what looked to be a freshly cooked dead animal wedged on a moss-encrusted twig, and set it in front of the doctor, pulling off a bit of it for himself and shoving it on yet another green fuzz-bedeck stick. The doctor looked at the dead animal. The doctor looked up to the master. The master smiled, all creepy innocence and awkward over-sexuality, like a little girl in a pre-teen beauty pageant, and looked intently at the doctor. The dead animal didn't look at anything, being deceased. It had been a very perceptive, sentient, flying muskrat-type creature named Bernays not long ago, though, and would have rolled its eyes if it could have. See note.
Unbeknownst to the Time Lords, Bernays had been up for promotion at work and in a very good place in his relationship with his girlfriend, Shernaz, before his life was tragically cut short by a black-garbed man coming at him with a rock. See note.
In the desperate flailing attempts to make it die of the type of man who'd never before so much as seen a raw chicken.
At any rate, Bernays had been too young and full of life to be reduced to a poorly conceived courtship pop ring, and all this really was a pity.
There's still bits of fur and feathers on it, the doctor offered sadly.
I caught it, though. For you, even. Aren't you hungry?
The master's voice was awfully expectant. In the doctor's mind, a few salient points of the situation suddenly arranged themselves into a pattern. It was a lot like how, if you're a paranoid schizophrenic, prices in a supermarket arranged themselves into coded messages from the government, instructing you to wear tinfoil hats in order to fight aliens. In the doctor's experience, that never worked. He'd go with wax paper over tinfoil every time. But given that he was dealing with the master, the doctor thought the more mental the line of reasoning behind conclusions, the better. Let's recap our situation briefly. You have knocked me over the head.
Twice!
The master interrupted proudly, but also because he appreciated exactitude. The doctor conceded the point. As you say, twice. And you dragged me here by the hair, I presume.
Now that's wishful thinking on your part. It would certainly all fall out. I had to use the scruff of your neck. You're a hard man to drag, Doctor.
Back to your cave.
I prefer lair. You'll love what I'm going to do with the place.
And you are now proceeding to provide me with the meat. Your kill, specifically.
Oh, come on. Don't be churlish. Have a nibble, Doctor. It's like tandoori chicken if there wasn't any chicken about and I couldn't figure out what to use as a spice that wouldn't give us food poisoning. But apart from that, it bears a striking resemblance.
You do know what all of this looks like. I know you failed introductory anthropology, but no one could possibly fail it this hard.
Yes.
The master seemed unperturbed and was now munching on his own unattractive meat stick, having apparently grown bored of waiting for the doctor to come to the appallingly obvious conclusion. So when, and this was just a few hours ago, mind you, your eyes went all ravery, and you said you wanted to destroy me.
Patience, Doctor. Let a man finish his meat stick. I burned energy dragging you in here that I'm hoping to replenish before we get any good destroying in.
The master waggled his eyebrows. There was a long pause, so pregnant it expected septuplets.
Can't you ever just ask me out on a normal date? The doctor shrieked. The cheetah planet! For Rassilon's sake, I just wanted to go to the Olive Garden and order veal parmesan or something. Instead, I'm trapped for an unknown period on a planet of frankly ridiculous-looking carnivores with you licking your fangs at me. God damn it, Koschei! I just wanted some appetizers and white wine, maybe a Bellini. Why in 900 years have you never done the decent thing by me and bought me a Bellini?
But we're going to unleash our animal passions!
The master gestured frantically to the meat sticks, as if they were instrumental in proving his point.
Make like cats in heat, unleash centuries of a smouldering sexual tension, which, by the way, you're a lot calmer about recognizing than I would have thought you'd be. I was betting on having to break out our friend the party rock again and just letting you sort of come to in media res. I cooked you this quaint little meat stick, even.
Oh my god, the doctor pressed a hand to his brow. This is worse than the time with the Magna Carta. I wait centuries for you to figure out your fixation with me by yourself, come to terms with it, and perhaps suggest a trip to the pub, buy me a few drinks, try for a drunken snog, attempt a smashed lay, and follow it up with, oh, I didn't know what I was doing, I was just so wasted, but listen, now that you're in my TARDIS, why not just have a shower? I'll do a fry-up and maybe you should move in, you know, just for convenience sake arrangement. But obvious, you are actually this stupid. I don't know what I see in you. The doctor, all vexed out, turned away, twirling his meat stick desolately.
We'll get out of here eventually, Doctor. The master put his hand on the other man's shoulder and squeezed it consolingly, inching his hand ever so slowly towards the doctor's vulnerable, erogenous neck.
Don't even know where we are!
No,
the master offered.
But my TARDIS has a new homing function, and it'll find me within, I should expect, a few more weeks at the outside. We shouldn't shift planets before then. We'll be perfectly fine, if a little more rugged than we might have liked. Well, than the Doctor would have liked. The Master had been rather looking forward to the dirty, sweaty bits of finally capturing the Doctor, but someone was being a killjoy.
Oh, the Doctor Huff, I can't stay mad at you.
Yes, you can, the Master corrected, shocked. Frequently for centuries, about the stupidest things, like anyone even misses Legopolis, the math planet. He hated pronouncing exclamation marks, but as that had been the planet's proper name before he decimated it, he might as well get the nomenclature right. He kind of owed it that.
I can't stay mad at you when we could be having long overdue therapeutic sex, the Doctor amended.
Well, then, the Master tossed the neat stuffs aside and proceeded to put their cave to good use, the patient hand resting at the base of the Doctor's neck, becoming rapidly more interested in the joys of undelayed gratification. Let's find out if the cheetah virus can be sexually transmitted.
Ugh, the Doctor groaned, half in exasperation, half in enjoyment, as the Master did something more inspired than any 12 of his doctor-baiting schemes together to the Doctor's torso. Fucking cheetah planet.